Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by an anonymous donor.
Hello and welcome to the podcast with Father Nadeg of St. Saki's Church. I'm your co-host, Veb Azdikian. It's 2016, so why don't we start off the podcast with a prayer from Father Nadeg.
Lord God, we thank you for all your blessings. We were able to conclude the year 2015 in our lives, and here we are on the first week of 2016. We pray that your blessings will pour down on us, in our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls. We pray that your peace will be given to us individually, to our family members, and to each and every individual of our community. We know that we have individuals who are suffering with great losses, with sickness, and all kinds of tribulations. We pray that you may ease their pain with your presence in their lives and in their hearts. We pray to you that you make this year, 2016, an opportunity for each and every one of us to love you more and to get to know about you a little bit more. Be with us, O Lord, because we want to walk in the path that leads to you. Bless us, bless our families, and bless our work. Amen. Amen.
There are many reasons why I enjoy being in Armenia.
What?
One of them happens to be that I can continue the Christmas holiday through the month of December and January.
That's a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. And this week, obviously, as our listeners are listening to this podcast, we would have just celebrated Armenian Christmas on January 6th. And as we're speaking right now, we haven't yet celebrated it, so I'm just indicating to you that I'm looking very much forward to services this week.
It's such a unique way for us to start the year. We start our calendar with the biggest feast of our church, which is the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it makes sense, right, to start with the Nativity, the birth, and then go through the crucifixion and the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Logically, it makes sense. But because of so many other considerations, the Western Church has changed that. Even if you go and nowadays and look at their readings, you will see that their liturgical year starts right by Advent, because it doesn't make sense otherwise to mm-hmm. celebrate Christmas at the end of the liturgical year. So it's the beginning of a new year, a new season. And it's something that I personally love this season. I love Christmas. I love celebrating the Armenian Christmas. And when I was a kid, growing up in Kesab, which was predominantly an Armenian community, that day it felt so different. January 6th for us was such a huge celebration. Not only because of the food, the families coming together, but also the celebration in itself was very important. Can I tell a story?
Absolutely. We encourage it.
I remember as a young kid, my grandma, who was a very traditional lady, she would encourage us to wake up early in the morning of January 6th. And she would say, "Ait ora,
Parniket Chaklavatsvir, Betka Achpurertak. And we had a fountain nearby. We had to go there and we would wash our faces with the fresh water that comes from the fountain. And we would ask her, why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. She would say, on this day, we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. And by you going there, you also are reminded that you were baptized and you need to live your baptismal call. Of course, the wording that you would use was not as fancy as I'm using right now, but right. It went along the lines. And it was such a unique tradition. And then we would go to church. And one other good thing, or two actually, I can talk forever about celebrating Christmas. Caroling was big. After celebrating Christmas Eve Mass, we would go caroling to each and every house in that community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've told me that before.
And then on Sunday, after the church services, after having lunch, we would go out and visit family members and friends just to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. So mm-hmm. It was such a big celebration. Tell us, what memories do you have?
The meaning of Armenian Christmas to me is both as brings a moment of national pride as an Armenian, because it's our special day on the calendar. And also as a Christian, because it's that moment of reflection where we actually start to think about Christmas and the true meaning of Christmas. And it's always been sort of the spiritual and the religious experience for me on January 6th and on the 5th for the eve of Christmas. And we celebrate more of the traditional types of festivities and the meals and lots of eating, which just we all went through this year leading up to New Year's. And I'm sure we all gorged ourselves and as well as our listeners. But this part of the year, as we enter the new calendar in 2016, it's more of a moment of spiritual reflection for me, being that it's such an important day for us.
So which one do you prefer? Do you prefer the Christmas Eve Mass or Christmas Day Mass?
I can't say I have a strong preference either way. I mean, it's effectively the same celebration, and we're proclaiming Tzezi Mezi Medz Avedis, the arrival of Christ and the revelation of Christ. So I don't know that, and maybe you can enlighten us, what's the distinction that we should be looking for between the two services? Are there differences in the Mass?
I think the Mass on Christmas Day is more festive. The Mass on Christmas Eve is kind of shorter. But what I like about Christmas Eve Mass is the readings that come before the Mass, actually.
Right.
And they show us that the birth of Jesus was not something new. It was foretold in the Old Testament, and it's just a fulfillment of that prophecy. So I like the readings, the scripture readings, and then I like the fact that we are celebrating the Mass at night. It has a different
feeling. Yeah,
yeah. I like that a little bit better.
Yeah, I could speak from a personal experience, having been involved in the Mass on Christmas Eve for many years since childhood, learning the Intercevadzis, the Vocinch, the Taniel. So for me, that's an opportunity to actually engage and be part of the services. That aspect of it has a lot of meaning to me. Please show me what I'm looking for. So, Dernarek, since it's still the Christmas season and we just celebrated Armenian Christmas on the 6th, can we talk? This was something that I had mentioned previously in the early stages of Advent, where I'd like to expand a little bit further on this topic, but we never really had an opportunity. Can you give us a bit of a distinction between the 25th and the 6th and why and where the history comes from on the celebration of Armenian Christmas on the 6th as opposed to the rest of the world on the 25th?
I don't think that nobody knows exactly when Jesus was born. We can have some clues from the Bible that at the time of his birth, it was during a season where shepherds were out there tending their flock. So that should tell you that it certainly couldn't have happened either in January or in December. It must have been
in the spring,
summer, maybe early fall. But the January 6th date is something that we read about in the early texts of church history, and we have a source of from Clement of Alexandria, who lived around 150 through 216, and we read that Christendom celebrated the Feast of Nativity on January 6th. But we also know that later on, when Christianity became the religion of the Roman Empire, they wanted to move the date and replace it with some pagan holiday that used to take place on the 25th. Mm-hmm. And officially they adopted that during year 451, during the Council of Chalcedon. And we all know that this is a council that Armenians did not attend. And for that reason, we did not adopt the resolution of the council. And we kept the original date because we did not have anything major happening in December, so we figured to keep the original date.
So, and not having participated in 451 was a direct result of Vartanants and the fact that we were dealing with the Battle of Avar at the time.
It was the year that the Battle of Avar was taking place. There was no way for Armenians to be part of that meeting. And we know because of that meeting, we have been kind of separated from the large family of traditional churches. We have been misunderstood for that reason. It's something that we can talk about, that meeting on its own. But one of the reasons that we did not attend was basically the Battle of Vartanants.
That's kind of ironic, isn't it? The fact that we were fighting to preserve Christianity and that sort of that process alienated us from the remaining churches in the Christian world. Or maybe an alienation is probably a harsh term, but created a bit of a separation or a schism.
Yeah, there was a schism, but it turned out to become a source that would eventually strengthen our national identity. The church became a national church, and that was very important to keep us united and also maintain our Armenian identity, as we all know, throughout the bloody years and centuries of our history.
Mm-hmm.
So God had a plan, and it worked for us.
And it continues to work, because as we've said before, we enjoy the January 6th celebration. Probably wouldn't have it any other way.
Our Italian friends call it Little Christmas or Small Christmas, but
right.
For us,
or the Epiphany.
Epiphany, but for us, it is Christmas. Christos tnave vhaitnetsav, ortnele haitnutyun Christosi, or as you said there,
tzezi mezi medz avidis.
How was Santa for you this year?
Santa? For me? The Santa stuff kind of rings hollow after a while, after a certain age. I'd probably have to say after the age of maybe 14 or 15. But the kids loved it, and they continue to get spoiled. I mean, I have some pretty strong opinions about the whole Santa and the process of continuing to shower the children with gifts, because at some point it seems like they're getting a little bit spoiled. But I don't want to be overly critical. It was a fun time, and the kids continue to enjoy it, and they're enjoying the fruits of all of those Santa gift giving. Did you happen to get any great gifts this year?
Ani and I, we do exchange gifts on Christmas, and this year I got a very unique gift. Santa gave me the box, obviously, to open. It felt very heavy, and I was like, there could be anything in this thing. And when I opened it, I felt that it was a book, because it had another layer of wrapping. And at that point, I'm like, oh, my wife thinks that I need to do some more reading or more research. And I'm like, what is this? I was kind of disappointed. But
you
then
were.
I was not expecting a book.
Another book.
Ton of books. But then when I opened it, it was a beautiful, beautiful book. A very new publication. It's about the Armenian Catholic Society of Cilicia, its history, its mission, and its treasures. So this is a brand new publication, and the Armenian Prelacy is selling it. I think each and every Armenian individual should have a copy of that book, because mm-hmm. it will tell you about not only the history, not only the mission, but every small treasures that we have, big and small. It's all there. Very professional publication, so I really enjoy getting that book as my Christmas gift.
Is it a complement to the book Light from Light, which talks about sort of the history of the church and the two holy sees? And
Light from Light is a book that tells you about the Armenian church. This book is about the Armenian Catholic Society of Cilicia since it started. And you cannot compare, because Light from Light is a smaller book. This is a huge publication. Mm. Lots of...
Oh, you did say it's very heavy.
Yeah, lots of colorful photos. I think you should be proud to just have that in your library.
Where do we get it? Direct from the Prelacy?
Direct from the Prelacy. Call the Prelacy and speak with Rita, our bookstore director. She should be able to help you to get a copy of that book. This is our first episode of the new year, and there could be no better way to start our year and to start our program unless we speak to our spiritual leader, His Eminence Archbishop Oshagan Choloyan, the Prelate of the Eastern United States. Today I am honored that His Eminence gave some of his time to me to answer a few questions. Serpazan Hayr, Asfaz Oknagan, welcome back to the podcast. Shnavor Nordari Ev Subzunut.
Օրդնյադեր, նմանապես շնորհավոր նորդարի եւ սուրբ ծնունդ։
Սրբազան հայր, we are in the first week of the new year's, and I guess we can start talking about our hopes and our expectations of 2016, but I would like us to take a look back at 2015, and I would like you, if you don't mind, to give us your perspective and evaluate the past year. I know it was an important year for us Armenians. It was an important year for our communities, our prelacy. What's your opinion? How do you evaluate 2015?
Definitely. We started the year 2015 with expectation that we are going to commemorate and eventually to celebrate our martyrdom. And it was a very, very heavy year for us in that sense, because as Armenian Church, we started thinking about canonization of our martyrs, and that was the most powerful thing that we had in the year 2015. It was not only for the Armenian Church, it was for our motherland and all parts in the diaspora. So for me, the most important event was that one, which was not only an event in Holeach Miyazin, but it was a very important action that the Armenian Church has taken in order to canonize our martyrs and make them inspiration for our nation. So for me, when we are going to talk about the commemoration of the genocide, it is important to remember that now we have a very powerful background, which are our saints who are now intercessing on our behalf to our Lord. Eventually, we started our year and we came to the end, which is normal. This is called history. And in history, always we plan for the future. We cannot plan anything for the future without looking back to our achievements that we had in the past years. In year 2015, definitely the genocide issue was covering the whole activities in our prelacy, in our nation here in the States. But also it happened that during that year, we had the blessing visit of His Holiness Catholicos Aram I, Catholicos of the Holy See of Cilicia. However, it was related, his visit, to the genocide commemoration, but it was also part of our plan for the year 2015, because we, as prelacy, we consider that we'll take this opportunity to address our youth, which we did with His Holiness's presence.
I know His Holiness likes to spend time with the youth, and during his previous visits here, he has always done that. But it sounds like this year, his meetings that he had with the youth was different. Do you share the same sense, Sir Pazanar?
Yes, it was somehow different. First of all, we can say and prove through the presence of our youth during our gatherings here in New York or in New England, in Boston, and also the participation of our youth. It is important to have interaction. In the past, usually, His Holiness or any very famous person, individual, may address to our youth. But this time, he was sitting there and he was listening, because we have so many concerns. And to be very honest and truthful, we have many concerns which are coming from our youth. Sometimes we are not answering correctly. Sometimes we are bypassing their concerns. But it is important to listen and, as a church, to have proper response to these issues. And in this time, I think that His Holiness listened to them, and at the end, he concluded by his few words, and he was happy. He was different also.
It looks like the visit of His Holiness was a major highlight last year. And besides talking about the youth, I would imagine that his visit left some impact also on the life of the parish. As I know from my own parish, it was such a time of excitement when Veapar came. Do you think that most parishes benefited from the visit of Veapar? Do you think that there was this sense of renewed energy in our parishes?
Yes, every time a Catholicos visits a parish, it's a different thing. I can tell that when even a bishop visits a parish, it is different. Just imagine that His Holiness is here, and I witnessed the presence of our parishioners in our communities, in our churches. And Veapar was also very much touched by the presence of our faithful. Definitely it makes a difference. And as it was in your church, I was amazed, really. And I liked not only the service that we had in the sanctuary, but also when we came down to the hall, there was some kind of a fiery atmosphere. Just being there, listening to His Holiness. And also, I liked also what the community spontaneously answered to help to our seminary, which is important for our Cilician Catholicosate.
Absolutely. Besides Veapar's visit and the centennial, Sir Pazan, is there anything else that was important for us to reflect on from 2015?
Okay, there are two ways of looking at any year. Last year was full of different international events. I'm talking security, I'm talking war, I'm talking destruction. And unfortunately, when we are talking about these kind of things, some of them happened in countries where our population, our main population are or were a very good and very active presence. I'm talking about, for example, Middle East. It was a very difficult year for the Armenians in the Middle East, as it was difficult for the other citizens in Iraq, in Syria, in Lebanon. And every time when I look at history and I see a continuation of difficult times, suffering of people, it breaks my heart. Every time when I see a boat capsizes in the sea with children, women, and men, it's a pain for me. And every time I see that, I pray for them. It happened also to our communities. We lost a very active, energetic community in Syria, and I don't know what will happen. So it is part of our life. Because when we are thinking about our prelacy in the States, we as Armenians, one way or another, we are part of this global citizenship and also of our motherland and Armenian nation. Even here, last week, Christmas time, in different parts of United States, we suffered. And the first thing I did was to pray for these people in Texas, in Missouri, in Alabama, because we are part of this nation. They are our brothers and sisters. And our work is, and our mission is, not only to pray, to try find ways to help to these people.
And I think the prelacy has been very instrumental, Sir Pazanhair, in trying to help the suffering community in the Middle East, the Armenian communities throughout the Middle East. Would you like to tell us about how much the prelacy has invested in supporting the Armenian communities in the Middle East?
From day one, also myself being from that region, I felt the pain of these people. And as a prelacy, from day one, we started asking our people to donate in order to help our brothers and sisters in Syria. There are so many ways of helping. First, we have to give them hope, which is very important. Because the material help or whatever we do through money or in kind, it's something. But the most important is to use these means in order to give them hope. And I liked also what the Arashnor, the prelate of Syria, Shahan Sirpazan, said to me when I asked him, what is the situation? People are leaving. He said, they may leave, but we decided to stay. So there is a hope in these words. And I like to emphasize that when we are helping our brothers and sisters in Syria, we are giving them hope and also to rely on the past experience that we had throughout our history. The leadership is important. One is material help, which is for our nourishment, food, etc. The other one is to just renovate the apartments or houses which are destroyed, not 100%, but in order to make a livable place. And the most important thing for me also is to help strongly making our children to go to our schools. Education is important for us. I remember when I read the history of our nation in Halep, especially after the genocide, the first thing they had done, they opened schools. And this is our strength. This is our future. And now we have a special fund in order to help our kids in Syria through educational fund. And now we are raising funds also for that purpose.
So, Pazanhair, let's shift gears, if you will, now, and let's talk about your Christmas message. For those who attended church
yesterday, and for those who have read your message that was transmitted in the last week of December, your Christmas message says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Why did you choose this biblical theme for your Christmas message?
Sometimes, you know, there is a traditional way of addressing our people through our messages. Sometimes you try to find something new. I chose that one because Jesus said that I am here. When he met the students, his disciples, at the lake during tempest, he gave them a strength. Now the world is in this situation. The world in a very difficult time. There is tempest everywhere. And we need somebody who says that, "I am here. Do not afraid." Yes, Christmas or the Nativity is the birth of Jesus. He's coming again. He is with us, and he is saying that, "Don't be afraid." This is why I chose that theme, because, you know, the situation in this world now, fanatics, terrorism, uncertainty, immigration, and also because we are so much concerned about these things, we don't see the other part, which is very, very destructible thing to our lives, which is the loss of biblical and family values. So this is why I chose that one. He is here. He's saying that I am here. Because sometimes we don't see in the manger the presence of the Lord. And our country, in this country, sometimes we are so much influenced, or we are talking about other commercial things, that Christmas has lost the true meaning of recovering hope and faith in order to see our Lord, who is coming to bring us love, peace, and goodwill to the world.
So, President, this is the first week of 2016, a brand new year. What are some of your hopes, some of your expectations, some of the projects that you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners?
The church will continue her work, and the prelacy is one of the venues to implement the work of the Lord through our work, through our programs, for our parishioners and communities. There are so many ways to serve our people. For me, the most important thing is to strengthen the parishes. Many, many times I emphasize that the prelacy is not an office. The prelacy is just part of the communities, and the communities are the extension of the prelacy. So this is why it is important to ask our communities, especially the leadership, the pastors, in order to bring the faith that we had from our past, which was the backbone of our existence, and in order to make our church a living church. For this one, participation is important. Each and every one of us must feel as a part of our community. We are not just individuals. Individuals, if they live alone, they don't make a community. Community is the collective presence of the individuals, which have a vision. They have a vision. They must work together in order to continue the work, the salvific work of the church. which for more than 1700 years has served to our nation, and in this far away from our homeland, still continuing because we believe that our church is a universal church, serving wherever we find a good, faithful Armenian church parishioner. So this is one of our projects. The other one is, I don't know if the faithful want to listen to this one. I want to renovate or rebuild our prelacy building because it is too small for our activities. And I hope that our parishioners will participate for this project. It is important, as I said, we must feel as one part of our nation, of our church. It is important. We cannot live and exist individually, cut from our past, cut from our nation, cut from our church and community. At the end, I wish to everybody a happy new year and Shnoravor Zanunt. I remember that when I was a child, Zanunt time was a festive time for me. Not for me, for the whole community in Halep. We felt that this is a holy day. Starting from our clothes, what to wear, the best one, to go to church. And after the church, we had also a nice tradition to come, kiss the hands of our parents, grandparents, and then visit our relatives, just bringing the good news of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
And we hope that this year, the birth and the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ will bring good news to each and every family in our communities. Sir Pazanhar, I thank you very much for this opportunity. And I wish you a very happy Feast of Nativity. Christos Tsunavi Faitnitsav. May God strengthen you in your work serving and leading our church here in this country.
The same thing I wish to our nation, to our people. And also, I wish you, the podcast of St. Sarkis Church, good success, because I know that it is important, especially in this technological world, the work that you are rendering to our people. This is a very, very good mean to reach to our people, attract them, and fill them with our hope, with our faith, and with our mission. Thank you very much, dear Ayr.
Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today's reading is from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7.
My point is this. Heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of all the property. But they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the Father. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God.
The word of the Lord. Well, they say that the Epistle to the Galatians is one of the earliest scripture that we have from the New Testament. And we know Paul is the author of this letter. And he writes to a community trying to explain to them the importance of the nativity, the importance of the incarnation, why Jesus had to be with us. What was the purpose of the incarnation? And here we read that it was through the incarnation that we received the honor of adoption to become children of God. For Paul to have this line of thinking, I think he must have gone through major spiritual growth in his life.
because as we reflected a couple of weeks ago here when we spoke about Saint Stephen and his stoning, we know that Paul used to be one of these guys who was persecuting Christians, who was so very much into the spirit of the Old Testament, rejecting Jesus Christ. But for him to have this new light and try to see and understand things under this new light and to use some vocabulary that is very unique to him, and I'm talking about the word Abba, I think this shows that how much a person can grow when you have the Holy Spirit in your life. For him to experience that change from being a persecutor into coming to a place where you feel like you are a child, you are adopted, and you're enjoying that because you call God, the Creator, as your Father, Abba.
What I've always been impressed with Paul is, as you mentioned, the transition from being such a devout hater of the Christians and the followers of Christ to becoming probably the most prominent example of a Christian in the Bible, as far as we know. So what's impressive is that he's able to articulate in ways based on his Jewish teachings. And I think that's the unique perspective that Paul offers in the Bible, that the remaining Gospels maybe perhaps don't have that degree of enlightenment. So this, again, for me, I mean, it's a very succinct summation of why Christ came to this earth and how we are his children, and really articulates that so well.
And this letter not only meant something for the community to which it was addressed, but also to us. You know, we're just done with celebrating Christmas, and we need to take a hard look to see that unless we're accepting the gift that Christ brought, we are slaves. And once we accept that gift, then we become heirs and we become children of God. So this is an invitation that our church fathers are sending to us using the words of Paul, that the Christmas, the nativity, it's not over. There's an invitation out there, and we need to respond to that invitation to become a child of God.
That is pretty amazing. I mean, there seems to be a fine line between being a slave and a child or a follower of God. So it's that distinction and that decision that you have to make in your life in order to get closer to God and to become a child of God. So again, it's clearly articulated in such a succinct manner to tell us exactly what it means to be a Christian and a follower of Christ.
And you know, what I like here in this reading is in verse 5, when Paul says, basically, Jesus came to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as children. Those who were under the law, they were doing everything that they thought was the right thing to do. Sometimes we have people who follow that line of thinking. You know, as long as we come to church, we say our prayers, we think we're good. But there's got to be something more. And in this reading, we know that something more is when you become a child of God, when you have that relationship with God. And that relationship is very important. We cannot just rely on the fact that, yeah, we know about our faith, we come to church and we say our prayers. We need to make sure that we have a relationship with God, and that is the most important thing in our lives as Christians. The hymn today is called Ov Zarman Ali. This is from the album Canavar, performed by Helen Zindarsyan. I hope you will enjoy listening to Ov Zarman Ali. This is a hymn that we sing during the service of Epiphany in our church. We will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I would like to thank our listeners, our sponsor, Mr. Veh and Mr. Greg, for all the hard work. And I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will always be in your hearts. Amen.
Today's podcast was brought to you by an anonymous donor. We thank you for your support. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Saki's Church office at 718-224-2275.